Hi, it's Victor Perton, the Optimism Man, and today I'm absolutely delighted to welcome Anne Boland and Stephen Buckley, the hosts of the Fork in the Road podcast. Welcome, Anne.
Thank you very much, Victor. It's so lovely to be here with you.
And Stephen, a delight to see you.
Yeah, awesome to be back with you, Victor, as usual.
Well, Stephen, tell us about your Fork in the Road podcast. What inspired its creation, and how does it explore the pivotal moments that shape people's lives?
Yeah, great. Thanks. We're now up to a fifth episode, and it's been a labor of love for Anne and I over the last 8 or 9 months. And what we were both noticing in our conversations with our clients was this, that many of the emerging leaders that we were seeing weren't able to have access to leaders who had skin in the game. And when we were sharing the stories from what we were hearing from people about the different experiences that people had around managing their forks in the road, the idea, well, why don't you do a podcast about it so you make it more accessible? So that was our real reason, was to bring the experience of seasoned leaders available to others who otherwise might not have access to that type of mentor. And that was the reason why we started Forks in the Road.
And Anne, what is a fork in the road?
Oh, great question. Fork in the road, I think it's something that we can all relate to, Victor, throughout our life. We can go way back very early. You might even think into teenage years or young adult years where just choices present themselves to us. And it's about how we face into those choices, sometimes consciously, sometimes not so. And it's where there's this opportunity for a pivot. And it can be very exciting. It can be very, very daunting. It can be confusing. And yet, when we go through the door that opens, and it could be several doors or a door that opens, it's where does that take us forth into?
Well, Stephen, you've lived a remarkable life. I met you in India. You were helping to run a hospital that did Western music, medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, magnetic medicine. So for you, what were the most important forks in the road, and perhaps what were the unexpected forks in the road?
Yeah, great question. Definitely, most of the forks in the road, I would say, were a couple of categories, were around professional and personal, and they may have been around relationship breakdown or illness, chronic illness, or cancer within the family. Particularly the cancer of my father when he had pancreatic cancer. That was a huge fork in the road for me. In terms of deciding where I wanted to go with my life, how I wanted to focus my energy. I would say after that event, my life changed significantly. My choices changed. My relationships changed. The quality, how I treated myself and my body and my mind changed because I saw my father deteriorating in front of me, which was potentially due to some of his choices. And so that was a significant one. And then also in my own relationships, and realizing that when a relationship had failed for me, I realized I needed to do better. And so that was a significant one. And I would say the most recent big fork in the road was that decision after having worked in healthcare for 33 years, I'd worked in India for 13 years, was to come back and set up a business in Australia. And Anne and I were talking about this afternoon, was that it, when you go into something that's really different from what you've done in the past, it feels like the distance between those forks in the road become less and less and less. And I what I've learned from reflecting about that was it was so important to have a strong support network around me, and came back to live in Australia. Hadn't lived in Australia in 13 years, hadn't lived in Brisbane, where I currently live, since 1986. So it took a bit of work to build up those networks, because I really knew I was going to need them.
It's interesting. I interviewed Bill George, from Harvard University, author of True North, and I said to him, "What makes you optimistic?" And Bill said, "Being surrounded by positive people." And I can imagine, Stephen, you're the man that does that.
Yeah, thanks. And I think that there's definitely been times when I wouldn't say I'm not surrounded by it, but I think that where I've lost focus on keeping my social networks. Like, for example, I was away for Australia for 13 years, came back, I hadn't been working on them. So I had to do extra work. So I learned a lesson from that is, don't let them die. You've got to put work into those relationships.
Coming back from, I was at a conference today in the water sector, and just the joy of meeting up with people and catching up with people. They don't need to be in your pocket every day, but as long as there's that regular catch up, it's so wonderful, isn't it? And you live in one of the most beautiful parts of Australia. So is
Thanks.
there a fork in the road that you'd like to share with us?
The main forks in the road for me has been through every learning opportunity I've come across. So right from the get-go, what drove me to go into my career, which initially was into education, was actually because of my sister's first son being disabled with a visual impairment. And I was inspired by how I was learning about his development that I was interested in education. But then I discovered along the way that I was interested in psychology. So I was just constantly exploring what I was interested in. And forks in the road just kept opening up because once I had felt like I had immersed myself enough, I was ready for the next opening. And something always presented itself to me. So I started off in Tasmania, which is where I'm from. That's where I was educated. It's where I started working. Then I moved to Melbourne because I was ready for the change to come to the big city. That's a big deal for us coming across from Tasmania. Came to Melbourne and entered into the workforce here in great jobs and just kept exploring. And you might have looked at me and said, every 2 years you're jumping ship and you're going somewhere else. Yes, I did. It's just because I wanted something new. I wanted to keep growing and learning. I realized that I followed my gut a lot. It was intuitive. And I never, ever let anybody get in my way of saying, and people used to say, why are you leaving this job? It's a perfectly good job. This is safe. This is secure. You're doing well in it, etc. Was no, my gut tells me it's time to leave. It's time to go somewhere else. So I've followed that and I'm really pleased because I've had a really varied experience throughout my career.
I'm a bit like you. I love the power of intuition. And
Right.
also, one of my mentors and friends, John Hagel, who ran the Deloitte Centre for the Edge, often talks about the power of serendipity.
Yes.
And serendipity only happens if you put yourself in the right place and you're open
Yes.
to it.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly right. It's what you're ready for, and I'm always curious about that. How you might be thinking about something, and then something shows up. There's a conversation to be had. There's a connection, or you read something. Something pops up in front of you, and it's there, and you're ready for it, or you're drawn to it, and you go explore. And I've discovered along the way that being able to say yes. Yes, yes, and yes. Really helps.
Brilliant. So look, the newspapers are full of this fear of uncertainty, and the business community, is uncertain. I always try and wonder, when humanity was certain,
Yes.
when was life certain? So, but the question I ask you is in that context of contemporary speech. So in moments of uncertainty, how do you maintain a positive outlook and inspire yourself and others to see the potential in that challenging decision at the fork in the road?
Well, one of the things that we've learned from our guests, one of the many things that we've had so far, is that it's not any one thing. And the guests in our first series have all come from healthcare, so they're working in complex environments in different parts of the world. So there's that similarity. And all of them talk about various aspects of scaffolding that they continue to work on so that they can take people forward with them. And I think one of the key themes that we've seen is the whole value of self-awareness in the leadership journey. And one of our guests, Patrick, mentions that self-awareness is underrated. And it's that it's and also one of our guests, Liz, has said that once the more you become self-aware, the more your world will open and the possibilities will start to come. So I think that that bit of working on yourself is a critical piece of the scaffolding, so that when you've got people around you, the naysayers or the people aren't believing, you're very clear on your purpose, why you exist. And that has come through loud and clear. What do you think, Anne?
Yeah, and also values.
Mm.
Being very clear about our values and what is important to us, what matters. And it's interesting listening to all our guests because that is something that they're deeply connected to, because we are talking with people who do have many, many years of experience, and they've become very clear through their journey of life and work life about what they say yes to and what they say no to. And they're driven by their values. They're very heartfelt. And so I feel I can connect to that myself as well, is that in times of uncertainty, in times of what feels like doom and gloom, I go to the heart of what is important to me. And I continue to be driven by that. And I see that so many people are. So the way I'm getting through these times is not to buy in to the negativity and the doom and the gloom that we do read about and we hear reported, because I see too much evidence, wonderful evidence, of people working to live life as well as we can, and to support each other, and to problem solve, and to find ways through. And through every piece of uncertainty or adversity that I've experienced in my life and continue to, I know I will come through it and I will learn from it. I will be a better person for it. And I stay deeply connected to people as I am going through that, and supporting each other through it. So, Victor, I'm determined not to be sucked in by the doom and the gloom.
Brilliant. So you guys are coming to Melbourne soon to do a live event, Fork on the Road, in Carlton on the 1st of October, and at the Kathleen Sames Library, which I love as a venue. So what are you doing in this live event, and what can attendees expect from a special evening with the two of you and some of your guests?
It's actually the a bit of an Australian tour, and it's our second place that we'll be visiting. So the first one we start off is on 26th of September in Brisbane, and then the 1st of October. And we wanted to give people an idea about why we did the Forks in the Road journey, but we want to normalize it and give people some actually. How valuable it is to be asking people the question about their forks in the road, and how you can learn so much from a person in that journey. So we're going to be talking about the reason why we did the forks in the road. We're going to have a few surprise guests who have been on the podcast sharing their experience of being going through and having the opportunity to reflect. And that's something that we've heard from our guests, is that that's really the first time I've been able to holistically reflect on my career, like with your questions. And we felt like it was a very intimate conversation. So it's going to be an intimate conversation in an intimate atmosphere, where we talk about it, but it'll be conversational and people will have an opportunity to talk to some of the other people in the room.
Well, I've booked in already, and I'll put the link in for people where we publish this podcast, because I think it sounds marvelous. Now, as you know, you can't visit the Center for Optimism without our question. So, Stephen, what makes you optimistic?
I think a strong part of it is the people that I have around me, and I do work on that, and really making sure that network of friends and people is diverse in terms of gender, age, cultural background, socioeconomic background. That's been something that I've focused a lot on. I've just come back from Bali, where we had a dialogue call of the time with 45 leaders from 16 different countries. Once you see that, and once you see what other countries are going through, it's like, I've got no problems in the world. And so really putting myself into positions where I get to hear other people's stories keeps me really grounded about the possibilities. But at the same time, you see the magnificence in our humanity when you have these types of conversations. So that's what keeps me optimistic. I do it, the forks in the road. I do it when I'm sitting at the train station. I do it when I see somebody with an interesting T-shirt and have a conversation with them. So just reach out and talk to people, as many people on a day-to-day basis, to make myself realize that there's heaps of amazing human beings on this planet doing good stuff.
As you know, Stephen, I smile and say hello to everyone. If they pause for a moment, I say, and what's been the best thing in your day? So my answer to that question today is, of course, catching up with you. Now, as you know, yesterday I wrote a piece on brazen optimism. Although I'm a radical optimist with the gender pronoun Pollyanna optimist. Stephen, what's your optimism superpower?
I think that what I like is sassy optimism. And it's not necessarily an on fire sassy, but it's there. And it gets me, it's got a sense of humor to it. It's got a sense of we can do this. And so I know it's just sitting behind everything. And there may be moments where I'm not feeling absolutely optimistic, and that happens. But I know my sassy will come through, and generally in the form of a sense of humour, or, you know, just having a conversation with people and seeing their beautiful characteristics and qualities.
As you know, Roz Ben Moshe started me on the track of doing laughter yoga at the end of all my speeches. And it doesn't matter whether I'm at a real estate conference or prison, you end up with laughter yoga. It doesn't matter how bad your speech is, everyone remembers the laughter yoga. So that notion of laughter in all circumstances is something I really associate with you as well, Stephen. So, Dan, first time I've ever asked you, what makes you optimistic? Is it faith? Is it life experience? Are you a natural optimist?
Well, first of all, I want to say that about Stephen, that every time I get on a Zoom call with him, he always makes me laugh. As soon as he shows up and he sees me, he just makes me laugh. So he's always saying something silly or cheeky or whatever. So thank you, Stephen. what makes me an optimist? I think about my dad. My father was a learner. He just loved learning. And there was something that he said to me when he was in his mid-80s, and he said to me, I don't have time to die because I've still got so much to learn. And I carry that in my life. I feel so privileged to have had a father, lucky to have had a father who lived life like that. And there was never any sense of failure, and it was always just curiosity. So I think that's where my optimism comes from, is I'm just curious with a learning focus to it.
And have a think, what would your optimism superpower be? Are you a curious optimist, a radical optimist, a sparkling optimist, or an infectious optimist?
Oh, okay. Maybe an infectious optimist. But in a quiet way. I think I have a quiet, calm presence, and I think that calmness people like, and I like it within myself. I feel my best self when I feel calm and kind of in and quiet in that way. And but there's an optimism that is just constantly bubbling away there. I don't like negativity. I don't see the value of it. I don't see the necessity for it. If it pops up, I'm looking to learn from it, and then shoo it away.
when Victor asked that question, the first word that came to me to describe you, Anne, is gentle optimist.
Oh, thank you.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Thank you. I think the fork in the road is just such a lovely thing to help to teach people which road to take and how to choose that road to take. So the work you're doing is marvelous. You have my support, our support, and you know, this world tour you're starting in Brisbane and Melbourne. I look forward to interviewing you later as it goes. So everyone, I'm booked in for the Melbourne event. Come, listen to these guys, listen to them sharing stories, meet other positive people who will share their stories of the fork in the road. Anne and Stephen, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us on, Victor. It's been absolutely fantastic to have that conversation, and look forward to seeing you in Melbourne soon. And for everybody who wants to join us in Brisbane on the 26th, we'll give those links to Victor.